ABC Radio Australia.
Now, we're going to stay with news from Tonga, but of a more positive note. I think the rugby fans, of whom there will be many in Tonga, will agree. He's rated joint number one when it comes to the highest paid rugby players in the world. And yet, Charles Pietau has not been on the All Blacks radar for some time now. He has played for them, having been brought up in Auckland. But his ambition to play for Tonga is what's been on his mind for a while in his country of heritage. And he's been thwarted by the rules. But now those rules have changed, and COVID permitting, the star fullback who's made a name for himself playing club rugby for Bristol in England will finally pull on a Kalitahi jumper later this year in a World Cup qualifying game against Hong Kong. And for everyone involved in Tongan rugby, the hope is the million-pound player will set the lead for other newly qualified Tongan stars to follow. Pietau is a board member with Pacific Rugby Players Welfare, which has been lobbying for years to get the eligibility rules changed. And now that's happened, Pietau is planning to feed back a percentage of his profits from a new digital business venture into the organisation. I've been chatting to Charles about his business plans, but first about his upcoming international debut for Tonga and an opportunity he thought had eluded him.
Maybe it was like a couple of years ago, I said my intention of wanting to play for Tonga, and I think there might have been a vote back then and that didn't go through, and I thought that was probably the last chance and the end of it. But now to have this opportunity, yeah, I'm just really stoked and happy to have an opportunity like this to represent Tonga and be back in the international stage.
To what extent do you see yourself, if you like, of being flag bearer? Because you're such a high profile player, and I'm quite sure everyone involved with the Tonga national side will be absolutely delighted to have you playing for them, fingers crossed, later this year. But where you go, do you get the sense that others who are not quite sure may follow?
I think to a certain extent, I've been in touch with a few players, and you know, I think it does help when they hear other players, not only myself, but the potential lineup that we could put together in the team. And I think that brings a lot of excitement and makes guys, you know, want to take that step if they're kind of on the fence.
It's been suggested that for you, playing for the Tongan rugby team will be the equivalent of Jason Tamalolo turning out for the Tongan rugby league team. And we all know what happened to them at the World Cup last time out. I mean, they were within seconds of making it to the World Cup final. Do you feel that your involvement with the team, Malakai Fekitoa and others coming into the team as well, that Tonga could really have a big say in world rugby in the next few years?
I think that's the hope. Not only myself, like you said, Malakai and a lot of the other guys are eligible. And I think what Jason and the other guys in the league done, I think, was kind of the blueprint and kind of to open our eyes really to, you know, what can happen and the opportunity that lies ahead. And even if we can make games more competitive, you know, that's a start. But what the league guys done there, I think there was definitely an eye-opener for myself to see the impact that it had on young Tongan kids, whether they were in Tonga, New Zealand, Australia, wherever. There was a sense of they want to grow up and put on their red jersey and represent Tonga. I think if we can replicate something similar to that, then, you know, I think it'll be a success.
And what would it mean for you to pull on the red jersey and appear at a World Cup for Tonga, which is clearly what you and the team would be aiming for with the qualification games coming up, hopefully later in the year, COVID permitting?
Yeah, I think for myself, that World Cup is the pinnacle of our game, and you know, I haven't been there yet. And to represent Tonga and put on a jersey, my brother's done and captained the team, and so I think to follow in his steps will be a huge honour for myself. I know, speaking to my parents, they would be really proud to see me put on their red jersey and represent, you know, the country of their birth, and it would mean a lot.
Part of the process that has been gone through over a number of years to get to this point, Pacific Rugby Players Welfare have certainly been out there shouting loud about the need to change the eligibility rules and get it to something like what we have it now. So they effectively, if you like, have helped to open the door for you and others who would like to go and play for Tonga. The same applies to Samoa, to Fiji as well. You know, I gather, want to give back to Pacific Rugby Players Welfare. You have this NFT business that you're talking about setting up, and the suggestion is it will be a bit of a fundraiser for Dan Leo's organisation. Do I have that right?
Yeah, so we have 5% of all for sales going towards helping out Pacific Rugby Welfare. And like you said, there have been a massive voice for the Pacific Nations pushing different issues and advocating for the Pacific Islands. And like you said, in terms of the eligibility, has been a massive push, and they've got the conversation going. And it's been a pretty cool project I've been a part of in terms of the Rugby's NFT and being able to give back to Pacific Rugby Welfare. Hopefully we'll continue to help them make positive positive change and voice the things of the Pacific Island.
So for those people who may not understand the nature of what an NFT business is, can you briefly explain that and then tell me a little bit about your own particular business?
Yeah, it is pretty tricky. It's still quite new and probably a lot of people, it's hard to understand. Non-fungible tokens is what NFT stands for, and it is all digital owned and you get ownership of whatever it is. There are different forms of it. There's art, trading cards, which is the sports cards business we're in. There's all sorts of different things that you can own digitally. And in terms of the business, seeing NBA and the NFL enter into the platform, and I guess me and a good friend had seen that there was opportunity in the space for, you know, rugby to be part of that, and the rugby community and fans that love the game to have the opportunity to be able to buy an NFT card, and whether that's out of the love of the game or seeing as an investment.
So this, if you like, is the digital 21st century equivalent of the footy cards that you used to get in packets with a bit of chewing gum, that sort of thing?
I think that's where it, like, I think for me growing up in New Zealand, it was seeing all black cards in the Weet-Bix boxes that you had to buy and try and open and collect, you know. For some other kids, it might be Pokemon cards or different eras, whatever era that you've grown up in. And now, today's age, the digital world is here, and a lot of believers it's the future.
Can I presume that one of these digital cards will feature you?
I think so. At the moment, all the players that do feature are guys that play in the World Cup. So hopefully, if I can be a part of a World Cup, then I may feature.
So it's an added incentive then, get that Tongan jersey on and then get to the World Cup. Get yourself on one of your own digital cards.
Exactly.
And what's the level of interest at the moment? Are you expecting these to go pretty well?
It's been going okay at the moment. What we've found is that a lot of the people that have been interested are real rugby fans, and the understanding of the digital world, the NFT space, is foreign. So it's been able to get people to understand what it is about. And that's a bit of process in itself. So I think once we can get both spaces where there's the people that are really involved in NFTs into it as well as the rugby fans, then I think that's when I think it'll really take off. But I think at the moment we're sitting around 46 sports trading cards, I believe.
And for the moment, of course, you're very much committed to the cause with Bristol. I'm just wondering, looking to the long-term future, has the idea of perhaps turning out for Moana Pacifica and Super Rugby in this part of the world occurred to you?
Not yet. I've been really happy to see that, you know, there has been, you know, Pacific Island teams, and, you know, the Moana Pacifica is based in my home area and in terms of South Auckland. So you never know what the future may hold, but I love seeing what's happening with both teams at the moment and excited to see how they go in the Super Rugby competition.
Charles Peartow, not too far away now from, we hope, making his international rugby debut for Tonga. Both Charles's parents are Tongan born, so as you can imagine, they have relatives who were caught up in the recent disaster in that country. Charles told me he knows relatives on his father's side are safe, but he was still waiting to hear about his mother's family. In the meantime, he has set up a GoFundMe page with the intention of raising £25,000. That's around 48,000 Australian dollars for the Tongan relief effort. And right now, the total stands at a touch under £22,000.